Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, The Rainy Season in Autumn, Text Number 21. Pitva pa. Oh, let's try this. Pitva apa padapa padi asan nana atma mortaya prak shama tapasa shranta yatha kama anusevaya pitva. Let's see. Pitva pa para pa padbir asananatma mortaya prakshamas tapasa shranta yatha kama anusevaya pitva pa para pa padbir asananatma mortaya prakshamas tapasa shranta yatha kama anusevaya pitva having drunk apa water parapa the trees padbi with their feet asan assumed nana various atma mortaya bodily features prak previously shama emaciated tapasa by austerities shranta fatigued yata as kama anusevaya by enjoying acquired desired objects. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The trees had grown thin and dry, but after they drunk the newly fallen rainwater through their feet, their various bodily features blossom. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity again exhibits his healthy bodily features upon enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity. Who can repeat this? Try it again. Okay. Repeat after me. The trees had grown thin and dry. So what happened to the trees? Yes. But after they drunk the newly fallen rainwater, and how do they drink it? Yes. Their various bodily features blossomed. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin and weak from what? Yes. Again, exhibits his healthy bodily features. Upon enjoying the material objects. And how did he gain those objects? Yes. See, we do hear a little bit. So who can repeat it now? Anyone can repeat this verse? Don't be shy. What's the first word? The trees had grown thin and dry. And the next word? Get the next word, you can get the rest. The trees had grown thin and dry. How do they? But after What happened?
Through their feet.
Their various bodily features blossom. Similarly, one whose body has grown thin, emaciated, had thin and weak from austerity, also exhibits his healthy bodily features. When? By enjoying the material objects gained through that austerity. So Prabhupada's purport, or Prabhupada's disciples' purport, the word pada means foot, and pa means drinking. Trees are called padapa because they drink through their roots, which are likened to feet. Upon drinking the newly fallen rainwater, the trees in Vrindavan began to manifest new leaves, sprouts, and blossoms, and thus they enjoyed new growth. Similarly, materialistic persons often perform severe austerities to acquire the objects of their desire. For example, politicians in America undergo grueling austerities while traveling about the countryside campaigning for election. Businessmen will also often deny personal comfort to make their business successful. Such austere persons, upon acquiring the fruit of their austerity, again become healthy and satisfied, like trees eagerly drinking rainwater after enduring the austerity of a dry, hot summer. Now we'll read from the Light of the Bhagavad. So what's the first word in this verse? The trees, yes. And what about the trees? Thin and? Yes. But after they drank the newly? Yes. What happened? Their bodily features blossom. Similarly, those who have undergone austerities, whose body has grown thin and weak from austerity, also exhibits their healthy bodily features. What's that? Yes. So here, Light of the Bhagavad 18. Many plants and creepers were almost dead during the month of April and May, are now visible in various forms, for they are nourished by their roots in the moist earth. These numberless plants and creepers resemble persons who dry up in severe penances for some material gain, but then achieve their objectives and become luxuriously fat, nourished by sense enjoyment. Prabhupada said, well, unless you're happy, you can't get fat. But different people have a different constitution. But generally, whatever your constitution, if you really want to get fat, you have to be satisfied. And Bhutva Bhutva Sa Evayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratri Agama Vishaparta Pravat Nuhar Agame. Bhagavad Gita 8:19. Bhagavad Gita, it is said that when the daytime of Brahma is over, the manifested creations of the universe all vanish. And after the end of Brahma's night, the creation is manifested again. Thus the cosmic creation in its manifestation and non-manifestation resembles the creepers and plants that appear during the rainy season and gradually vanish when the season is over. Even when the plants and creepers are no longer to be seen, their seeds remain, and these dormant seeds fructify in contact with water. Similarly, the seed-like spiritual sparks are dominated by the desire to lord it over the material nature, exist in a dormant state after the cosmic manifestation is annihilated. And when the cosmic manifestation reappears, all the silent living beings within the womb of material nature come out and engage in sense enjoyment, thus growing luxuriously fat. To attain liberation, one must be completely purified are perverted forms of desire. A living being cannot snuff out desire, and to practice artificially erasing the actions of desire is more dangerous than the active desires themselves. All desires should be reformed and directed towards spiritual activities. Otherwise, those same desires will repeatedly manifest themselves in different varieties of material enjoyment, thus conditioning the living being perpetually in material bondage. Mam Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhaname Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadya De Siddharna. Generally, people undergo austerity because they want something in return. Of course, even Hiranyakashipu, he underwent great austerity, although he was not a very advanced, he wasn't a devotee at all. He was the demon. But especially the demons, they like to undergo austerity in order to get some power, because that's the way the universe works. That the more one becomes austere, then the more one acquires material benefit. Therefore, it's to be concluded that those persons who have material opulence now, it's because of the previous austerity. It is not that everything in the material world works immediately. In other words, we perform activity, and it's compared here to the sowing of a seed in the ground. It's not that as soon as one puts the seed in the ground, immediately get the fruit and the flowers. It takes some time. Similarly, sinful activities are in different stages. And all sinful activities begin with avidya, or ignorance. And from avidya comes papbija, the seed of material enjoyment. And from the seed comes papam, or sinful activities. And from papam comes aparabdha karma and parabdha karma. Aparabdha karma means that karma which is being manifested immediately, and parabdha karma, actually aparabdha means which is not visible, and parabdha means that which is immediately visible, one's getting the reaction immediately. And then from that comes kutam, or a tendency for sinful activity, which leads to bijam, or desire for sinful activity, and the cycle goes on. So as long as there's avidya or ignorance, then one desire gives rise to a material activity or sinful activity, which gives rise to the inclination for material activity or sinful activity, which gives rise to sinful activity. And it goes on and on, as long as there's avidya. Even tapasa is also within the realm of sinful activity. Actually, every activity performed in the material world outside of Krishna consciousness has to be considered to be in the realm of sinful activity. Any activity based upon desire, Krishna says, gives rise to karma. And although karma is differentiated between karma and vikarma, vikarma meaning sinful activity or unauthorized, but even karma, ultimately, because it gives rise to another material body, means that one has to suffer. Just like we may do pious activity, like King Nariga. King Nariga gave away more cows than there are stars in the sky. So how many stars are there in the sky? A lot, yes. And he did that, not ordinary, he didn't give away ordinary cows, but all of them had golden hooves and silver horns. And they had nice silken wrappers on their backs, and they all had one new calf, and they were just ready to give milk. So, imagine that, if you can. How many cows that was. Krishna had said, he used to give away 13,064 cows, or 54, I can't remember. Some 13,054 cows from each one of his 16,108 palaces. So if you need a cow, you know, anyone who needed a cow, he knew where to go. And this must be considered quite amazing, because considering Dronacharya, he had approached King Drishtadyumna's father, Drupada. He had approached Dronacharya, approached Drupada, who formerly was his friend in the Gurukul, who had promised him half the kingdom. He approached him because one day Ashwatthama, he was playing with his friends, and his friends mentioned something about milk. And Ashwatthama, because the family was so poor, he didn't know what milk was. So he asked his father what milk was. And Dronacharya, he went to the kingdom of King Drupada in order to ask him for a cow. Although he was promised half the kingdom, he just wanted one little cow, or a big cow, whatever was available. In any case, King Drupada laughed. Not only he wouldn't give him half the kingdom, he wouldn't even give him a cow. So cows are not so easy to get back then. So what to speak of giving away so many cows? And not only that, but he dug wells, he gave away food and charity, he did so many pious activities. And yet, his next life was a lizard, just by making a little mistake. So what to speak in Kali Yuga? We don't make little mistakes. We don't give away cows by mistake to the wrong person. We eat the cow. So to take birth as a lizard after this life is quite a fortunate birth. Only the most pious people in Kali Yuga take birth as a lizard. Well, not exactly pious, but it is not so easy to avoid the reactions of karma in this material world, especially in this age. Therefore, the cycle goes on, but what to speak of austerity, people have no idea what austerity is meant for. Dharmasya pavargasya narto yo yopakalpate nartasya kama nartasya dharmakantasya kama labaya hismritaha. That religion or dharma is not meant for sense enjoyment. The few people who have any religious sentiment, they're completely convinced that the only reason why to have any religious sentiment is to get some material reward from the Supreme. If there is a God, he shows himself by rewarding his followers. Therefore, the most pious people, or the most God-conscious people, are the richest people. Of course, nowadays, as Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, people don't think they have to go to church to get material things. They can simply go and work, and they can, by hook or crook, by stealing especially, by cheating, they can get material things. So why do you need God for? If the goal of life is simply to get material objects and enjoy them, then whether there is a God or not, it makes no importance. Because if God can give us these things, that's all right. You put a dollar in the quarter in the basket as it comes around, and when you go home, you find your bank account, it's increased thousands of times. It's a good gamble. And if you have to, you can get it from work. So why bother getting up so early on Sunday? Just go to work, and everything will be provided. But dharma is not meant for sense enjoyment. In other words, people think, pray to God or whatever, then the objects of the senses will be supplied. Of course, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that. He says, anad bhavati bhutani parajana anasambhava, that all living entities are subsisting on food grains which come from rain. And rain comes from the performance of sacrifice. Therefore, it's to be understood that actual opulence is based upon beginning with good food. It's like, why do the people in this country like the Hare Krishna movement? Because they have good food. Isn't that right? That's the main reason why they appreciate the devotees. Most people aren't. Some people adapt the hairstyle and the dress, but most people appreciate the food. The most basic satisfaction in this world is good food. And good food depends upon food. Nowadays, they think that by chemicals you can make good food. In America, they have grown cotton, edible cotton. I guess if the food runs out, you can eat your dress. Or dhoti, whatever. If you have a cotton dhoti, you can eat it on the street. Because, due to the chemical fertilizers, pesticides, insecticides, the quality of the land has become deteriorated, the food has become, the quality of the nutrients in the food has become deteriorated to such an extent, as I mentioned before, one time they did an experiment to find out what the effects of the nutrients are in shredded wheat upon rats. So they put the shredded wheat in the rat cage, and they didn't take the box away, they just opened the box, and the rats, they ate the box and left the shredded wheat. Because they knew where the nutrients might be. So all of the entities are subsisting on food grain, which comes from rain, and rain comes from the performance of sacrifice. So actually religious activities produce the pacify the demigods, because when the supreme law is satisfied, everyone, even the demigods, is satisfied, and then they provide the necessities of life in the form of rain. Unfortunately, people don't believe that there's any connection between the performance of dharma or dharmic activities and the necessities of life. Therefore, people have lost connection with what's actually valuable. Now things are judged completely externally. People are suffering, just like as mentioned here in the purport. A businessman, he'll work all day just to get some money. He has enough money to get at least a couple of chapatis, but he wants to get more and more and more money. And the only thing, the only satisfaction he gets is when he looks at his bank balance. Nothing else gives him any satisfaction. He comes home at night, his wife and children have already eaten all the food, even the dog got the remnants, and no one knows what he's going to eat. Maybe he tries to pop a piece of toast in the toaster to survive for the next day. So he only has enough time to get a piece of toast. He's so much anxiety, he has so many ulcers, even the toast feels like it's burning inside him. But he's simply satisfied looking at the bank balance, thinking, I'm actually progressing. Similarly, people don't mind living in cities with all the smog and all the chemicals, all the noise, all the anxiety, all the crime, because they think, now I can go to the movies. The movies are right around the corner, and I can watch people enjoying while I suffer. They're satisfied to live in their imagination. And as they can't imagine, after breathing in all the smog and pollution and all the noise and eating food which is mostly chemicals, they can't imagine how they can possibly get sick and develop these horrible diseases. They can't understand. They can't see any connection. Just like in America, they can't understand why the children are so violent, why they've lost all their attention span. I mean, after all, they watch all these nice programs on television. They're getting everything they want, all these video games, and they can watch television and all these toys. Like, how have they become so violent? One school one whole state in America, they, or especially one school I know, they change the diet of the children. Usually the diet of the children in the public schools there is bidded out to the lowest bidder, whoever bids the lowest. So they have McDonald's hamburgers in the schools. They have Twinkies and all these other, that's what they eat. Pizza, Twinkies, McDonald's hamburgers, and all these sodas like Sprite. One can of Sprite has tablespoons of sugar in it. Did you ever sit down and take 7 tablespoons of sugar all at once? But in a can of Sprite, it's all right. All these pop drinks, they have all this sugar in it. 7 tablespoons of it. And if you drink, sometimes in McDonald's they have a supersize, they call it. It's a half a gallon. It's 2 liters of... So, that's 4 glasses. That's 28 tablespoons of sugar all in one gulp. And they can't understand how these children have attention deficits. They're so spaced out. Yeah, because they're flying on the sugar. They never come down. What to speak of everything else they're eating. And so they change the diet in the schools. They actually start to give them salads and all these other unusual foods. Exotic foods. And they could have, it was amazing because the children started to be able, they came down to earth. They started to actually be able to hear things and they became human again. They could talk, they could have 5 words in a sentence. So they were quite amazed. Of course, the fast food companies and the ones who produce all the sodas, they became quite alarmed that you're taking away our profits, you're destroying the industry, you're destroying the future of America. So this is materialistic life. People have become so full, they can't see any connection between what they're doing, what to speak of religious things, and what's happening to them. They can't understand that the biggest industry in America is pornography. It accounts for more income than all the other entertainment industry in America, including all the films, all the sports, all the videos, everything. And they can't understand why crime and sexual activities is increased. They can't make any connection between it. Inconceivable. So people have even lost the ability to understand what the results of their activities are. They can't see any connection between what I'm doing and what's happening. That means completely in the mode of ignorance. So similarly, if you're in the mode of ignorance, you can't see a connection between your activity, then you might as well do anything. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Drink 10 gallons of 7-Up. It's all the same. There's no reaction. So why follow any austerity? If you drink 7 gallons of 7-Up at once, actually in one time there was a waiter in Chicago and he spilled some 7-Up on Coca-Cola at that time. He spilled some Coca-Cola when he was serving it on the big boss in Chicago, the mafia boss. So the mafia boss made him drink 7 Coca-Cola until he drowned to death. So what's the difference if you do that or you do anything else? What a way to go. Drinking 7 Coca-Cola. So they can't, why perform any austerity when you can just spend your whole life trying to enjoy and you get the same results? But here it mentions that if you perform austerity, then the result will be that you get material opulence. When your senses, mind become controlled, then Krishna gives you the intelligence and he provides everything necessary for in your future enjoyment. When Prabhupada's purport mentions that the living entities, they remain dormant for some time in the womb of material nature, and then they come out, and then they try to enjoy again, according to their past proclivities. But in order to end this whole thing, the whole cycle, one has to get out of ignorance. One has to understand what will be the results of my work. It is not that I can do anything here and get the same result. Yanti deva vrata devan pitri yanti patri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyaji mokima. Now those who worship the demigods, they'll go to the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts, they'll become a ghost. Those who worship the ancestors, they'll go to the ancestors. And Krishna says, those who worship me, they'll come to me. Every activity has a result. And one should learn what the results of our activities are, so we'll be encouraged to do something that will be auspicious for ourselves. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in summary. For instance, Krishna says, karmanasu kritasyahu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasastu palam dukam agyana tamasa palam satvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lova evacha pramado moha tamaso bhavato jnana evacha. That if you act in the mode of goodness, you get knowledge, and from that knowledge you get purity or happiness. If you one acts in the mode of passion, one becomes greedy, and the result of greed is unhappiness. If one acts in the mode of ignorance, the result is madness, illusion, and foolishness, and the result is pure madness. So it is not that current society, it's just going to go along, and because we're all good people, and we're all in the wonderful land of America or Oz, everything's going to be nice. It's going to go on forever. People can go on with their sinful activities, and everything is just going to get better and better. It's not going to work like that. Now, people are more or less conditioned by the mode of passion, become more and more greedy, and therefore they're becoming more and more unhappy, and the result of their unhappiness is they're becoming more and more foolish and mad and so many other things, and soon pure madness will reign prominent. And even if in our lifetime we don't see 100% unalloyed madness, but we'll get pretty close. Therefore, the devotees, not only ourselves, we have to understand what I'm doing will have a result. Either it'll help me become Krishna conscious, and that, as Krishna said, yad tadagre vishamiva parinami ritopama tat sukham satyakam protam atma buddhi prasadaja. That which in the beginning is bitter like poison. So it's not that sitting here in the Bhagavatam class, all our seekers were always right, raised up in ecstasy. That our hair will stand on end hearing Bhagavatam. As a matter of fact, it's bitter like poison to find out that not only we're not God now, which is hard enough to take, and we don't mean the big God, we're not even a little God. Well, we're maybe a little tiny God. We're so tiny, it's insignificant. But whatever, not only we're not enjoyers now, but there's nothing we can do in the material world there's nothing we can possibly do here. There's no means by which we can actually become, even in the slightest way, a real enjoyer here, or a real controller. It's a real lose-lose situation here. In the material world, you can't win, and you can't break even. So this is a big crushing blow for all our plans to become happy here, to become successful, to become important, to get something out of this life besides pure unalloyed love of God. So it's a crushing thing to our false ego. And no one joined the Hare Krishna movement to crush their false ego. But sitting here in Bhagavatam class, even the speaker hearing it, it's quite discouraging in some ways. For our false ego, at least. So it's bitter like poison to find out that all these things I worked so hard for, performed so many pious activities in my past lifetime. I was born in such a nice place, nice weather, nice food, everything's going all right, and it has nothing to do ultimately with me, that I didn't make any progress just by coming to us. That I have to go through the austerity of Krishna consciousness and realize that I'm simply an insignificant soul, servant of the servant, ultimately of everyone. That my whole attempt to become God or the Lord or become the Master since time immemorial was a waste of time. Not only I wasted a few years, I wasted trillions and quadrillions of years. Just like we can see our parents, when they hear about or any elder person, when they hear about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, if they're not familiar with it, it's quite discouraging to them. Because they think, I've invested so much time, so much energy in these things, and now you're telling me I was just wasting my time? I can't accept that. What to speak of ourselves, investing all this time trying to become someone important, someone good, someone like this or that, to find out we haven't gone anywhere. We're still exactly the same soul we always were. And there's nothing we can do here to make ourselves anything better than we'll eternally be. All we can do is become a devotee of Krishna and then realize what our real nature is. Therefore, one should try to perform those activities, and all the other activities, even the mode of goodness, won't be seen so significant. Because the real activity, performing service to Krishna, will become prominent, because we'll see that's the only activity that will give me any real benefit at all. Activities in the mode of goodness may help me come to realize that only by acts of devotion am I really benefited. Everything else is shravam evahi kevalam. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Sorry to throw rain on everyone's parade here. Any questions? Yes.
Now, what do you think of this flu pandemic which is coming up? H5N1, you know, the virus from human beings.
We'll all be killed. Enjoy while you can. No, these things are old. The person in America, guess who is the biggest, who owns the most stock in the company that puts out the only remedy for this bird flu in America?
Gibbs.
Who?
Gibbs.
No, Rumsfeld. He owns the most stock. So this is all. These are every couple of years or every year they have this kind of hoax. A couple of years ago, it was, what was that flu that was in China? SARS, right? SARS. It's going to kill everyone. I remember coming through to the airport here in Melbourne. Immediately they saw me in my robes because SARS was supposed to be in, especially in India, in Hong Kong. Immediately they stopped. They thought I was going to start speaking Hindi or something. They said, where are you coming from? I said, I'm coming from America. And they looked at me and said, oh, okay, no worries. He said, SARS have come in. You're all dead. No, this is all, it's just another way of making money. Some. They're going to force everyone to take this vaccine. The vaccine will probably kill everyone in America.
They can't make flu vaccine.
What's that?
They cannot make flu vaccine.
Yeah, it's all...
Just
like SARS, the people who had SARS were all the people who were killing all these animals in the markets in China. People are selling snakes and rabbits and rats and things like that in the market. We're eating them too. These are the people who got SARS. And it was all a virus. Nothing to do. Their food habits were so clean. They washed the rats before they ate them. They can't imagine how they could possibly be attacked by some vicious virus that appeared out of nowhere just to attack these pious people in China. That's just a hoax, actually. Anything else? Yes.
Well, at the beginning of the lecture, you said how we start the bad karmas, like we are ignorant, and so can you explain more about that? Like, the beginning when you start.
Ignorance? Well, ignorance means we don't understand what the results of our activities are. We can't differentiate between what's pious and impious. We don't know anything. And we're very proud that we're so technologically advanced that we can kill everyone just pressing a button. Or that we can see how everyone's suffering. We can watch television at night and by our technological advancement see how everyone's suffering due to our technological advancement all around the world.
The chain you were describing, like from ignorance...
From ignorance to... That's... You can read that Nectar of Devotion. Bijam, the seed for sinful activity, the desire of sinful activity leads to sinful activity. And from the sinful activity, we get a reaction. And Prabhupada gives the example that because of ignorance, we desire to commit sinful activity, that desire, like illicit sex. And then one performs the sinful activity, and then one gets venereal disease. That's the prarabdha karma. And then, even we cure the venereal disease, the desire, the tendency towards illicit sex remains, so the desire appears in some future time, and again we go through the same cycle again. Only it increases. So this is all due to ignorance. Anything else? Yes.
Why we do sometimes we do the same service in the appears, make to the other times we make to the voices? Why is it?
Well, because that's the nature. Vishayandriya samyoga dhyattaragre ritopamam parinami ritam iva tatsukam rajasam smritam. That which in the beginning may appear to be like nectar, but at the end is just like poison, born of contact with the senses, with their object, is said to be happiness in the mode of passion. So there's variety. Yattaragre tanubandecha sukamohanamatmanaha nidralasya pramadokta tattamasamudaritam. That which in the beginning and the end is blind to the process of self-realization, which is based upon sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be happiness in the mode of ignorance. So there's varieties of the modes of nature that produce different types of happiness. So at the beginning, something appears that's going to be very happy, very pleasurable. And for when we satisfy that desire, it's actually only the satisfaction of the desire that produces the happiness. In other words, in the absence of the anxiety to satisfy our senses, the absence of that anxiety we call happiness. So when the senses meet their objects, and no longer we're in the anxiety that the senses should meet their objects, we think we're happy. And then as soon as they stop meeting their senses, that once again we're anxiety to bring them back again into the object, to the objects of the senses. So once again we're in anxiety. And then after you satiate your desire, then you fall into the mode of ignorance, and the same thing which contact with the senses appeared to be like nectar, now you become disgusted with it. Even before, you no longer feel the anxiety to bring the senses in contact with their objects, now you feel averse to it, anger. So lust, anger, they're really both sides of the same coin. Lust, there appears to be a little sweetness, and anger, there doesn't appear to be any sweetness. So then attachment, aversion. Just different degrees of lust. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.